Hello, everybody. This is the first episode of the How It Was podcast in 30 minutes or less. We're going to get right into it and start with our first topic. Is Minecraft scary?
Is it?
And so we found this topic online, and guy gave us some pretty interesting theories on what he thinks, you know, why he thinks Minecraft can be scary. And I'll let Jake kind of lay it out for you and we'll give our feedback on it.
Basically, what he's saying is that the Endermen were responsible for building the mine shafts that you find in the game. And it also goes on to explain that they had to sacrifice themselves, or basically their eyes, to obtain Eyes of Ender, which to me, I always thought the Eyes of Ender that you pick up would be their actual eye.
Right.
But I guess it's saying that they're carrying those. I feel like with anything where you get a large fan base, you're going to kind of get that that information that people come up with on their own.
Oh, yeah. You're always going to get crazy conspiracy theories.
Right.
And people that put time in the game, they're always thinking, you know, they always have different thoughts on the game.
Right.
There's always a different look at it. Somebody's looking at it. Where me and you were just on there because we've had a long day at work and we're just right. trying to have fun with each other. Somebody else, that's a piece of their life.
It's like when I was in high school, I was trying to find a picture of Simba on Lion King for an art project. And I get into this weird fan page where they're talking about characters that don't actually exist. And
oh,
they're
yeah.
going through the entire family tree. And it's like 1,000 years of history of it. Something that's fictional,
right?
But a lot of detail on that.
Mm-hmm.
But is the game scary? I think I've probably been more scared playing Minecraft than any other game.
The only really other game I guess that I can think would be like The Last of Us, like a game that's meant to scare you, like a zombie,
right? But
type
even
game,
but even then, I feel like you're walking into that kind of expecting that experience,
right?
But with Minecraft, it's like, oh, there's pigs walking around, and then all of a sudden you hear that fuse burning.
Yeah.
I was playing last week. They added an update with shipwrecks. I drowned like 6 times in a row, right? There's no more panic in your life than watching those air bubbles run out.
Yep. Or like you get in there, you know, you're just hoping to relax and chill, and you're digging down trying to find something, and you fall down a shaft or a cave into
right.
some lava.
And it's like, done. But here's where the fear ramps up a level. Went into the shipwreck, found some potatoes. Okay, potatoes are impossible to find.
Right.
So now I've got these potatoes in my inventory. I went back to the same ship and died 4 times to try to get the potatoes out. That's true fear.
Yeah.
Every time, I pretty much knew what was going to happen.
Right.
Right? I'm going to drown again.
You're just expecting it to happen.
But I needed those potatoes. It was 4. And just in my desperation, I went repeatedly. But I think about, too, if you're going through the game to conclusion, at the very end, I've never beat it on the normal mode. And I feel like that would kind of be a fearful experience as well.
Mm-hmm.
I beat it on creative, which, of course, there's no damage, pretty straightforward. But without that, there's so much time to prepare. And I've tried to get to that point where I felt comfortable going, but I've probably put in 2 days and not been to that point.
The scary part, too, is like you work so hard for what you've got in the survival mode, in the normal mode. And so there's almost a fear that you're scared to lose what you've worked for.
Right.
So you've built this place and, you know, you've got this mine shaft and you've got all your crops outside and here comes that creeper and he blows your crops up.
Right.
And it's scary. Not only is it scary that you see him ticking and, you know, you could take a hit and it's like, wow, everything I've just worked for, now there's a hole in my garden and
right.
And so you're pissed.
So we're saying, yeah, the game's scary. Is it also one of the most frustrating games?
Mm-hmm.
I would have to say it's pretty frustrating. I've played some games where I felt like, man, I'm never going to beat this level. But I've also played Minecraft and built something, and it gets blown up. And as soon as I get done building it, here comes another one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it can be frustrating, but yeah, it's funny because it's supposed to be one of those games where you get on, you relax, you're gardening. It's like you're playing online house or something, but then there's just so much more to it where you get into it and you're running around at night and there's
right.
skeletons shooting at you. There's witches throwing stuff at you. And it's like, it's a kid's game, but also at the same time
but it's endless too, that they've created a classroom Minecraft where you have the teacher is kind of responsible for the server and can set up scenarios in it. And I mean, you can go through and you can do math. You can do history. You can look at social scenarios. I mean, you can do a lot of things just with something that people hacked into Java and created on their own.
I feel like it's pretty good for kids. There's a lot of problem solving involved.
Right.
And especially, you know, when we started out, when the game was just first created, it's like, how do I make a wood plank? You didn't know. You had to just kind of throw.
But then you see these little 8-year-olds that are like, they know exactly how to make everything.
And they've made it easier, you know, on the console where you can figure out, you know, it tells you what materials you need. But also, you know, trying to figure out, can I put a house here? What do I need to grow these crops? It's good for those kids to kind of work their brain a little bit.
And like the example I was thinking of, like let's say you wanted to learn about price and supply and demand and those types of things. Let's say you have 8 kids that set up apple markets and they all sell apples and they all have 25 apples to sell. You tell them price can be whatever they want it to be. Then you have 8 kids and you give them a certain amount of money and you say, hey, buy these apples. Well, depending on how many apples are left, they're going to pay more and more and more as it goes on. But the person that sets their price too high at the beginning isn't going to sell any apples.
Right.
So it's something that you could do with pieces of paper. But I think it gives kids a reason to get more into it.
Right.
And I think they kind of use the game that way too, just like for kids to explore what's out there and kind of check stuff out.
Yeah.
And also get the crap scared out of them at the same time.
Seems like a good teaching tool, but, you know, as long as they edit some of that scare factor out, I guess it's probably okay. But so is Minecraft scary? I would say yes.
I'm a yes.
I'm definitely a yes. I mean, even now, being in mid-20s, I still, you know, you hear those creaks in the cave.
I'll throw a diaper on.
You hear that Enderman one time, and it's like, here it goes.
Yep.
Here's the end. So while we're on the topic of fear, we were just checking out some videos online. We'll go ahead and tell you guys, we're Redditors. We check Reddit a lot and find some pretty interesting stuff on there.
That and the community Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook, right. So we're checking out Reddit, and we see this video, bunch of kids, and, you know, they're at a pool having a good time during the summer, and I guess someone gets a bright idea and said, let's dizzy bat this girl. Let's close her eyes and spin her around a bunch of times and throw her in the pool. Cause you know, that'll be a great idea. Of course, you know, she gets spun around and she dizzy as can be. She goes down in the pool. Well, now she's not only does she not know where she was when she was out of the pool, now she's underwater and she still has no clue where she is. So, she gets pretty close to drowning.
I'd say she probably knew where she was. But definitely couldn't figure out which way up was. And it just makes you wonder, like, she kind of looks – it looks like she can't figure out how to even get her feet underneath her.
I think that's a lot of it was she just couldn't figure out what's up. She was trying to get her feet down, but she could never get her body to stand straight up.
Just almost debilitating.
We're talking about fear. One of my biggest fears is definitely drowning. Like you go underwater, you can't come back up. Your last breath of air is going to be a gulp of water.
Right.
And you're just going to fill your lungs up with water. And that's how you could go out.
Back to Dizzy Girl in a second. But I think all the extremes, but, nature, Like you think earth, water, fire.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to be buried alive. Nobody wants to drown. Nobody wants to be burned alive.
Yep.
Is there
somebody wants to fall from a?
Yeah, there we go. Behind. Nobody wants to fall. I mean, like nature, deadly. Just totally off topic from Dizzy Girl there, but
yeah.
What a connection. At what point do you say, you know what? I'm probably going to start hanging out with some other people.
Yeah, seriously. It'd be interesting to see which one of them, you know, if the girl that did it was the one that suggested it, or if she just kind of got, you know, guinea pigged into doing it.
Right, because the video we watched, no audio for that, so we're kind of missing some of the backstory. But we've all had friends that were like that, where you're spending time with them and they're like, hey, let's do something stupid.
But they never want to volunteer.
But it's never then. Yeah. Right. When I was younger, we did a milk challenge one time in somebody's backyard, and I conned everyone into doing it, and I did not participate. So maybe I'm that friend.
Right.
But we went in to edit the video later, and we walked outside, and it was just putrid milk smell where everybody's been yakking in the backyard. But we got like 11 hits on YouTube from it. So.
Yeah.
But that kind of brings me to another thing. When we did that, I think it was 2009, YouTubers weren't a thing yet.
No.
Like, if you could have got on the front wave of YouTube, even if your videos weren't great, I remember watching some pretty lousy YouTube videos and thinking they were hilarious. And now you have people that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars on YouTube. And just kind of missed opportunity, I guess.
Oh, definitely.
Could have kept making stupid videos and got some backing and then been good to go.
And the quality of the videos. I mean, nobody put out good YouTube videos. Technology wasn't there.
Well, hell, we were doing the milk challenge and everybody had to stop right in the middle of it, and we had to change tapes in the video camera because he still had a tape.
Exactly. Like, the technology wasn't there. People weren't – I mean, people didn't have all this stuff laid out for them, so, you know, they can go online and figure out how to edit a video or
– And now it's just accessible.
Right.
And now you just do it on your phone.
Yep. Everybody's got a smartphone. You can just record it and edit and – post.
But then does that bring up talent? Does your talent rise to the top as it becomes more accessible? Or is it truly kind of like the Christopher Columbus thing, whoever gets there first gets it?
Yeah. I don't know. I'd say, I mean, obviously you got to have some talent. You can't just be incompetent and do it. But with the technology, I think it opens the door for more people to do it. And maybe back then there was plenty of talented people, but they didn't have the option.
The means, right. So then I guess at a look in the future, you know, it's going to get better and better, and I think that it has.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the stupid stuff that we laughed at now wouldn't become a viral hit. It's just like I remember there was a video a long time ago of a mouse, and he was singing to a piece of cheese on a mousetrap. Did you ever see it? It was like very poor CGI.
Yeah.
But it really wasn't that funny.
No.
And people just ate it up. Or it's like you used to be able to put a picture of somebody's face on something. It's like the Splish Splash, I'm Taking a Bath song, and it had him in a bathtub or whatever. Like, people thought that was hilarious.
Right.
We're not passing that email around anymore.
No. I think we're just exposed to so much stuff. You know, you get on Facebook and it's memes. You get on Reddit and it's just, you know, viral after viral after viral, and you're just kind of exposed to it, and then you're just used to it. So it takes a lot to make you laugh maybe anymore.
Well, I think what it is just so progressive now.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be something would be funny for months. Now, you know, if you check the internet and then you check back 3 days later, sometimes that's already out and something else is in.
It's a different place.
Yeah, it's totally different. At a much, much faster. Because for us, when we were younger, I felt like it was movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people got their funny material from movies. Now, you can just access on the internet, and it kind of goes back to YouTube and things like that. Funny things that people do,
right?
And get to that.
Because I mean, back in the day, it was like, "Hey, have you seen this movie?" And you know, if you didn't, you're out of the loop because they had a joke or
right,
they had a line or they were going to hit you with. And
nothing's worse than when you're trying to like be cool, and people are cooler than you, and then they ask you if you've seen a movie, and you're like, "Oh yeah, I've seen that movie." And they start quoting it, and you're just sitting there, and your brain's blank. And then I've even been in a situation where you say something, and they're like, "What part was that?" "Oh yeah," and then you're caught. What do you do?
Yeah, and I didn't watch a lot of movies as a kid because I didn't want to, and there was a lot of stuff that my parents wouldn't let me watch. And
right.
Here, the cool kid comes into school, and he's talking about this movie that was PG-13 that he watched when he was 9, and I'm at home. I can't watch that movie. My mom and dad won't let me watch that movie. But he was a cool guy because, I mean, that was the cool stuff to do. That was the hits.
Right.
We didn't get on Facebook and Twitter and watch a funny video. That was it.
Yeah, and then, well, like, even really little, you know, if you went to the movies early enough to where you had watched, like, let's say something like a Shrek, and then you could come to school and talk to somebody about Shrek, but then if you didn't, you're just lost. Now you can find a pirated version of Shrek from way back when.
Yeah.
It's just totally opened us up to everything.
Right. So back to Dizzy Bat Girl.
Yeah.
Since we got off topic.
On the Dizzy Bat.
I just remember as a kid not letting, like, you know, you used to play those games in the pool and you would try to guess something, and if you were wrong, they would flip you.
Right.
I wouldn't let anybody flip me because I was afraid I'm going to get upside down this pool and I'm never coming back up. And that's like, that's what flashed in front of me when I was watching that girl do that.
It's right.
Like, she's trying to stand up and she has no clue.
But let's be honest, in the video, they're not really helping her.
Well, yeah, they're not. But that was just my fear as a kid. It's like, I wouldn't even dive as a kid.
Right.
Because I'm afraid I'm going head first and I'm never going to get flipped back around
right.
to come back up.
But see, we have very different water experiences.
Yeah.
I got lifeguarded for 8 years. I was around water a lot when I was a kid. Not saying that you weren't around water, but definitely different context.
I didn't. I tried to go to the pool, but I didn't. It wasn't for me.
Right.
I just didn't like doing it.
So for me, like, we play those games, but we never did any Dizzy Bat.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't.
I feel like you're just asking for it.
The Dizzy Bat. I mean, we probably did some dumb playing some chicken.
I've been in bad shape and swam.
Yeah.
Probably felt like I just did Dizzy Bat. But
that's definitely
one. Let me ask you this. So you're swimming, you get out, you eat something, and then your mom says, "Okay, you got to wait 30 minutes so you don't cramp." Have you ever known anyone that ate and then got in the pool and cramped directly after?
No.
That goes back to cool kids. Like the cool kids whose parents stayed home.
They didn't care.
They're like, you just see them.
They scarf down the nachos and they go back in.
Yeah, and then they're doing backflips and you're like sitting there on your towel.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I bet they get sick and cramp.
Yeah, like I hope they cramp. But they don't.
Nope. Never do.
And then as an adult, you're like, "Hey, I'm not waiting." But I wonder what the incentive for the parent is to make you sit out too, because then they have to deal with you.
Yeah. You don't think about that. I'm pretty sure they found that to be a myth, but you're right though. I mean, parents got to deal with you when you're out of the
right.
pool.
I think more about that, those things, now that I'm a parent.
Maybe they were trying to give the lifeguards a break. I don't know.
Maybe so. When I was a lifeguard, they didn't care about giving us a break. Yeah. Be freaking 60 degrees outside, and you'd have 20 kids waiting at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's swimming, but it's a cheap babysitter.
True. Yeah. So for our last topic of the episode, we are going to talk about this meteorologist who during one of the games, I believe it was it a Western Conference game?
Yes.
It was the Portland Trail Blazers playing – who were they playing, Oklahoma City?
No, it wasn't OKC. It was the next
– it was the second round.
They
would have been playing – they would have been playing the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Anyway, so during that game, there was a tornado warning in an area, which I believe was Virginia, correct?
Yes, I think it was like the Bedford area.
Yeah, so it's actually, it's pretty close to home for us. But anyway, so during the game, they had a tornado warning, and the meteorologist kind of broke into the game and went split screen with the game to talk about, you know, the tornado warning and how, you know, citizens needed to seek shelter and not go outside. And
here's my problem with this. It's kind of like the boy who cries wolf.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the tornadoes are important and all that stuff, but we kind of get oversaturated with warnings, watches, and advisories. And,
right.
You know, I can't remember which is which. Watch means it's hit the ground. Warning
means it's possible it'll hit the ground.
And advisory is like maybe.
Yeah.
Or,
stay updated.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. So I feel like there's just too much. I mean, meteorology, along with maybe politicians, can be right 48% of the time and keep their job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're an air traffic controller and you land 48% of the planes, like you can pack your crap up. You're getting out of there.
Right.
So I guess maybe it's like a, I don't want to say a boredom thing, but maybe he's just sent to the station and they need something to do. So they throw it to him for the tornado watch.
Yeah.
Or actually it wasn't even a watch at the time. I don't think one had actually touched down when he came.
I think he was just giving a warning to the, to the people.
But yeah, tornado warning. Okay. Yeah. So when I first saw this post, I thought that people were upset that they didn't give the tornado the full screen.
Because of the game.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it was my impression that people were upset they wanted more tornado coverage. Mm-hmm. But once I read the comments, it was pretty obvious that the people were upset
that they cut the game.
That they cut the game,
right?
And they actually play some of the phone calls that people sent to the station about cutting into the game. But just reading through the comments, says that he was fired in Tulsa, Oklahoma, for cutting into a broadcast, not waiting for a commercial to update people about wildfires. Looks like he interrupted a football game to announce the request to evacuate a management office.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like he's kind of abusing his power to
maybe
cut into broadcasts.
He could just be really passionate about, you know, being a meteorologist. You never know, though.
Maybe. I hope so. But I
mean, I can understand it.
I'll be honest. If I had that power, might abuse it too.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand, you know, people getting pissed that they've cut the game completely and just interrupted
right. The
game. But, you know, they went split screen. The audio for the game obviously was silenced
right.
So he could talk. But, you know, it's not like they just said, you know, screw the game. Here's some coverage of this tornado that might happen. So I can understand more, I guess, if that's what would have happened. But since they just went ahead and split screen and still let you watch the game, you know, I didn't see it as that big of a deal.
But that's how people are now.
Oh yeah,
they want it catered to their interests. So if they're watching it for the basketball game, they want to be able to watch the basketball game and not have to deal with that stuff.
No interruptions.
But you know, there may be someone that needs that tornado
right.
warning.
And it's a thing with these Amber Alerts that people are getting on their phone now.
Right.
People are getting so mad that they're getting these alerts.
Well, and how can you complain about that?
And they're calling in they're calling 911 to say,
right.
Hey, I'm getting an Amber Alert and I don't want to get this alert. Why are you sending me this?
Right.
Like that's, you know, just ignore the alert if you don't want to hear it and move on.
Yeah.
I understand that, you know, it might interrupt something going on, but seriously, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah,
in your life, and
right.
it's going to affect someone else's life if someone takes it serious.
Well, it's like, yeah, and it's on the exact same page as tornado warning. If they put out a tornado warning, does it really inhibit your experience? No,
probably
you
not.
Still get to watch the game. It's
yeah.
not like they're cutting completely out of it. It's kind of like sporting events when they'd overrun and cut them. So you'd have a game or whatever, and then like usually the way they broadcast, they have an early game and a late game. Well, they used to, depending on who was playing what game, cut the first one short mm-hmm. if the second game was favored.
Right.
Well, now they have to wait for it to play out. They'll broadcast it on a different network maybe until they can get everything sorted out. But people are acting like this happened with the game. That they're like, okay, and you'll have to figure it out on your own, but they still got the opportunity to watch.
Yeah, so I don't get the uproar. Maybe some people will disagree, but I don't get it. I can see why. Yeah, like I said, if they cut it out completely, I'd be like, yeah, I'm a little pissed about that.
Yeah, I'm mad now.
But they did. I mean, you can still watch the game. People can still enjoy it, and it's not like a sport where you have to listen to the commentary to figure out what the heck's going on. If you're a basketball fan, you're watching basketball, you know what's going on.
Oh yeah.
The score's on the bottom.
Yeah.
Timeouts, time left, all that stuff's up there.
The home team's in the white uniforms.
Yep. I mean you can figure it out. Yeah. It ain't that hard.
If you like us, if you're interested, I'm gonna throw a surprise at Kyle here. We're gonna get a Twitter page together. If you'd like to send some stuff in for us to talk about, or maybe there's something that we talked about today that you'd like to discuss, we would love to hear from you. And as promised, it was all done in 30 minutes or less.
Exactly. If you guys enjoy it and you want to suggest topics or, discuss topics, like he said, we're going to get some social media accounts together. And, but the one way you guys can help us out is listen and, give us some ideas. Give us some support, and we'll try to make this a weekly thing. And
because this is a pretty democratic podcast,
yeah,
we're for the people,
by the people. We really don't. I mean, we're open to anything.
People helping people.
We just want to get on here and talk, and hopefully, you guys will want to get on and listen.
Maybe enrich some lives.
Right. If it helps one person, we did our job.
That's exactly right. It seems like that seems kind of shameless, but.
It's like teaching. You can help one student.
Yeah, that's why they do it.
But thanks again, guys, for listening. Like I said, we're gonna try to put out as much content as time allows, and we'll try to put up social media accounts together and get the ball rolling. So, thank you guys for listening. This was episode 1 of the How It Was podcast in 30 minutes or less. We'll catch you next time.